Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So my interview today was an utter delight, and I was absolutely thrilled to meet and to chat with Deepa Mehta, my guest today on Face to Face, as we chatted about her new film, Anatomy of Violence, at the Lightbox here in Toronto. It's going to be showing on the 17th, followed by November 17th, followed by a panel discussion, and then a theatrical release at the Lightbox on November 25th, also followed by a panel discussion. It's that kind of story. It's that kind of film. It's the, I'm not going to say too much about it, but it's layered, it's nuanced, it's complex, and it's comprehensive. How's that? it's a film worth seeing. It's an important film worth talking about more. And as Deepa says, you know, her desire is that, you know, all great film can start a conversation, start a dialogue, and this will in fact start and continue to add to the global conversation around gender disparity and sexual violence and extreme poverty and patriarchy, and the list goes on. So stay tuned. I hope you're going to enjoy this conversation with Deepa Mehta about her new film, Anatomy of Violence. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today. Real treat for me to be here at the Lightbox in Toronto with Deepa Mehta, a celebrated Canadian filmmaker and a woman who is not afraid of going a little deeper. That's the sense I'm already getting from Deepa. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, David.
So we're here to talk about, I hope, a whole lot of things, but mostly, I suppose, about your new film, Anatomy of Violence, which was a world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival this past fall. It's a difficult film. I was in the audience. I watched the Q&A. I saw you. I believe you introduced the film. And it's a film about issues. It's a film about gender. It's a film about violence. It's a film about poverty and culture and globalization. How, when you're being asked by journalists, when you've been approached by others to say, so tell me more about this film, what are you saying? It's so layered.
Well, that's really kind of you. I mean, I thought you were going to say, it's so confusing.
It's so confusing. No, not at all. So am I getting the sense you've been getting that from some people?
No, not really. Good. But yes, definitely there is a sense that it's a film that defies, a sort of a thematic that this is a documentary or it's a docudrama or is it a dramatic film? Is it an experimental film? Is it an improvisational film?
And, variety called of it semi-experimental feature.
I know. I mean, I think they're just trying to make it safe. I mean, really, for me, I wanted to make a film about around an incident that happened in India in 2012, where a young woman was gang raped in a moving bus, and it was horrific. For 6 hours, you know, she and her friend, a male friend, were he was beaten senseless and she was brutally raped and then thrown off the bus. And subsequently, the woman died. And it was such a shocking, I was in Delhi. And I remember waking up that December morning and hearing about it in the news, and it just seemed like an eruption of a volcano, what was happening in Delhi. Because we had been sitting, the world had been sitting on rape issues, and And we'd say, oh my God, this is terrible. And there were NGOs, and everybody did something about it or wanted to do something
right.
about it. But this left everybody feeling helpless, shocked, and personally brutalized. It was inhumane. It was, who were these people? Why? You know, and it became, you know, there were protests on the streets. I think it became a game-changing thing of awareness.
I don't hate to use the phrase, but was it kind of that tipping point in a sense?
Was it? Yes, it was.
You know, okay, enough is enough. This has gone to a new level.
Absolutely. It was definitely a tipping point because there was an awareness on from all. It wasn't just women. It was men. It was young men. It was older men. It was.
Right.
It was. It felt like India, and then it felt like the world, saying that this is enough. We have to do. This is an endemic problem. It's not about a victim and a monster. This is something much deeper.
So just before we get to the monster side of things, because let's do a little plug now, and later, November 17th, it's going to be at the Lightbox for a showing, and then opens theatrically on the 25th
here as well.
So,
yeah.
So and check out, I would imagine, this TIFF website will have more information
TIFF
about
will
that.
Have more, web, you know, yeah.
So we like to explain violence away, by saying, well, they were monsters, or they were out of their minds, or they didn't know what they were doing, or whatever the case might be. I heard you say at the Q&A that, I believe you said this, you said, why they would do something like this in the first place is what fascinated you.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I guess what you were saying, tell me, I suppose, is how did they get there? Is that kind of the question that started this for you?
For me, it that didn't happen. I mean, you know, it didn't happen that fast. You know, I did feel that this is an aberration, and this is these are monsters, and this is, you know, but then, you know, slowly you started realizing that there's more to it than just labeling aberrant behavior to poverty or to misogyny or to patriarchy in it. And I'm not, you know, this is not rocket science, but I really started feeling that perhaps it was all of those.
Mm.
Perhaps, and if it was, then somehow, not somehow, but definitely society is complicit in it.
Right.
And that is what fascinated me about making the film.
So now we're going to go kind of philosophical, I suppose, and we already have been a little bit, but for me then, the question to you is the problem of evil really one of complicity to some degree? When you look globally at all the things that go on around us, when we say, you know, yes to one thing, we're saying no to another. And so if we turn a blind eye, you know, through our complicit behavior, in a way we're not advocating for it, but we're okay with it on some level. You know,
oh, it's too horrific, so we don't want to face it. Mm. You know, it's a bit of that. I mean, I think that, you know, evil does exist, but the ability of society as a whole waking up and saying, I'm going to fight this instead of just ignoring it because it's a bit convenient to ignore it or being complicit in it because there is some sort of gain for us personally. You know, when you think of the Holocaust, for example, you know, it when you think of all those people who said it's okay. Or people who didn't want to accept ships that came here filled with,
right.
you know, with Jewish citizens. I mean, we are complicit in it.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. At what point we do have the power as society to say, enough. This might happen, but we will not turn a blind eye.
So then am I hearing you say that we're all potential advocates for change of one kind or another?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's good.
And why shouldn't we be?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think you have to, you know, wave a flag or give up what you're doing, whether, you know, it's to make... but you can definitely say, I want to know more. I mean, how wonderful if we feel the power to affect social change, all of us. Then we have a chance, you know.
Well, I mean, it's the work that I do. I teach in international development, this whole idea of, you know, the phrase I've been coming up with lately, or came up with lately, is there's a whole lot of splash when the pebble drops into the pond, but maybe not a whole lot of ripple.
That's so true.
And that's what we got to focus on more, right?
And so, more pebbles.
And that's right. We should all carry a pouch of metaphorical pebbles.
We need more pebbles.
And Deepa, I love, you know, the way you say it's not misogyny, it's not patriarchy, it's not, you know, grinding or extreme poverty. It's all of those things. There's a sense in which in the film, but by the way, congratulations, on a really, truly nuanced and not a confusing film. I would go with nuanced. I would go with layered.
David said it's a nuanced film.
Right. I would go with complex, comprehensive. How's that? But really, truly, though, the way that you play with the structure, the way that you play with the narrative and how you have adult actors in children's roles. And I mean, it's deeply unsettling in a way, just from a filmic perspective. But I think it really does speak to this idea of the layered-like nature of our own brokenness and
That's how we all are.
You know, I couldn't help but coming out and called my wife and I said, wow, I mean, to what degree is bad parenting to blame for most of the problems in the world?
Absolutely. You know? Bad parenting. Or uninformed, ill-informed parenting,
right.
or education.
Right.
You know, it's shocking to me that somebody would say, they would think of banning, Catcher in the Rye, for example.
Right.
You know, so what are we doing by banning things, by not making our children? One of the panelists that we're trying to get, because there is going to be a panel after the 17th screening and the 25th screening.
Excellent. A panel after each screening?
Those two screenings.
Oh, that's great.
The one on the 17th is in the morning, and the one on the 20th, the public screening on the 25th is also going to have a panel. And we want to get two young girls, who are Tessa Hill and Leah, who are, I think, 14 now, who started this whole movement in school. Mm. And were the youngest recipients of the YWCA award, which is against cyberbullying, you know, violence without consent. And so I'm saying that's our hope. Those young women are our hope. And it should be all of the ones in grade 2, 3, 4. When a boy is born, I mean, how do we treat him? How do we parent him to respect women? It starts at home, doesn't it?
It totally does. And I think for me, one of the words, just recently, a few weeks ago, I was a part of a conference connected to the Canadian Race Relations Foundation, and the name of the conference was Inclusive Canada. And for me, this word of inclusion, and I know it can be broken down and it can be problematic and so on, but as a parent, as a friend and so on, this idea of being included is just so important. And if we really could start from that relational point, and as corny as that might even sound and as hippie-ish as it might sound in a way, it's not a bad place to start, right? We're in this together.
And it's an easy place to start. Mm. It's without institutions. It's without wanting help outside your home.
Right.
Because that becomes difficult sometimes. You know, there's so many... there's so many institutions, and it can be very confusing where to reach. I mean, like, I'm asking you, the film's going to go out, David, where should I, who would be interested in seeing it? I want everybody who can be a part of social change or who's interested in seeing it come to see the film. I don't know where those institutions are.
Right.
So, but this, starting at home, is perfect. It's much easier. It's doable. But it means parents being aware.
It totally does. You know? And being open to having the conversation.
Exactly.
Not only together and with their friends, but also with their kids.
Totally,
right?
With
creating
their kids,
again,
of course,
this inclusive, open environment where you can talk about these things.
And the kids will feel safe and you feel safe.
My son's 11. We were driving. I was taking him to go scootering yesterday.
Yeah.
We drove by an abortion protest. I don't know that I've ever seen an abortion protest live. And there was about 50 people. And it was really fascinating. I thought it was like, oh, people are striking at the hospital, but it was, there were about 50 or 60 people off site of the hospital property. I don't know what was going on.
Anti-pro-choice.
And so here's my 11-year-old son and I, and we end up having this marvelous conversation about what this means.
Excellent.
What is pro-choice? I don't quite understand.
Yeah.
You know, and just, and we, I mean, and that I think I think that's what's so lacking. And you know, and I love what you say, and it's on your website. You know, the purpose mm-hmm. of film, you know, D.W. Griffith said is to make a sea, but you're saying it's to start a dialogue.
It starts a dialogue, yeah. I mean, people have asked me, do you think it's going to make a change? And I said, I don't know if it's people are going to come out of the film and say, I'm going to change the way I think. But definitely, maybe they'll start talking about it.
I wonder, too, Deepa, to some degree, if this is the kind of film, or at least it seems to me like this is the kind of film that people will look back on and say the timing was right.
Well,
you hit a nerve, you hit a chord, this was a part of a bigger conversation that was going on.
I know, but it's sometimes it feels, you know, it's maybe it's okay, you know, it's because
Are you impatient? Do you want bigger, greater change? Is that what
you're... No, I'm not impatient. I'm a real, very boring realist. because I guess it's not a conventional film.
Right.
In that sense, and because one doesn't have, you know, Disney behind it or something, you know,
yes.
selling
yes.
lots of ads or
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
I'm asking people to be engaged on a human level when they might not even have any idea what the film is about and what the expectations might be, because my films are sort of usually very beautiful to look at and they have gorgeous music and this is a very raw film.
It sure is.
Know,
what very have you found at the few showings, the Q&A, and what has the sort of the visceral response been of audience members?
It's been different. I mean, it's different in different countries and it's different
right.
in different places. I was in Iceland, and after the film was screened, we had a Q&A and stuff, and it turns out that that the Minister of Education is. Along with the head of the film festival, Reykjavik Film Festival, is spearheading a process of getting the film to be a part of the senior school curriculum.
Wow.
I was just blown away. That's
right.
what I want for the film. I just heard a week ago that Turkey wants the film and wants to take it with from village to village all over Turkey with the Film Association and Women's Association and screen it. So then you say, okay, it's all right. You know, this is. I don't need Disney. It would be.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
But this is because, you know, regular theaters and you know, 500 theaters. It's maybe it'll happen, but I think it's meant more for this sort of focus and.
Well, and it seems to me in a way that. The audience needs to be in a particular place to see a film like this.
Yeah.
They need to be ready for it. Otherwise,
it can be shocking.
It's so shocking. There's a sense, I think, in which you don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This isn't true, is it? This isn't really. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a sense in which you sort of know this kind of violence and this kind of thing goes on around the world. But there's also, I think, in a sense, certainly in the West, where maybe it's just a human problem. We don't really want to. Take down too far below the surface.
No, we don't. And I think that the feeling, and which I was very intrigued by, where it that happened in Spain as well, that people really felt that it was very particular because it is about built around the six rapists who were involved in the 2012 rape case in New Delhi, but it's very universal. So they could relate to it. Canadians who saw it could relate to it because, it's very particular. And the minute you're particular, I didn't say that, Buñuel said that, is the very minute you get universal.
Well, I don't think you can walk out of this film and not say there are, this touches a lot of nerves across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
This issues that the film raises creeps into all of our lives in one way, it seems to me, one way, shape, or another,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there's
absolutely
touch
it touches
points,
you,
right?
yeah, because it's in a sense because you feel also helpless because you know where these young men are going to go. It's not going to be a good place.
It's not
where
right,
they go. Yeah,
right.
And I would love to at that point intervene and say, actually. if I give this one food or if I don't make sure that he doesn't get abused, he will not get there. And that's what I mean about education and parenting and family units, and that awareness has to start there.
There's something too about the way that you used, using the adult actors in the roles of these kids and their abusive, essentially, relationships that most of them come out of. It's heartbreaking to watch. It's difficult to watch. It actually makes it, I think, it worked for certainly for me on a different emotional level, a visceral level in a sense, where, and probably intuitive level as well, where there's a sense, the systemic nature of it, how deep this brokenness goes. This, what you're seeing today around the boardroom table is actually related to something that potentially happened 35 years ago.
And absolutely.
And the way you craft the film, I think, helps us to at least have a conversation about that.
Yeah, and that's where it's going to start. I mean, it's a conversation about it. And also then you see the growth and the fact that we don't show the rape, or I chose not to show it.
Yes.
Because it isn't about the act of the rape. It's about how these particular six men might have gotten to that space and how do they become dead, in fact.
Well, Deepa, isn't the anatomy of violence really not the violence of the rape act itself in this particular case for you? Isn't that...
Absolutely.
It is
what caused the rape.
The politics.
The politics.
The upbringing, the
education. The misogyny, and power. I mean, the whole inequality of gender, inequality, and where there is such a, it's so easy to just hit somebody and hit somebody who you think is, quote unquote, the weaker sex. I mean, where does that come from? That's power on a very, very basic level. And it becomes far more sophisticated, but it isn't as if rich people don't rape, it's got nothing to do with class.
Right, and it's about a worldview, really, isn't it? It's about presupposition and assumptions that you make about others in general, really, isn't it?
Totally, absolutely, and we'd like to live with, I can understand for entertainment that it'd be really nice always to think of Canada as a country that cares about the environment, is liberal and is actually democratic, and not think about the 1,000 Aboriginal women who were murdered and have disappeared. It's the same way. It's easier to think of India as the land of yoga, and
right.
I can't tell you how many people, or Bollywood,
right.
And because it's just so much more attractive. Lives are tough. We have tough lives. They're not easy. We all need escape things and have our idea of what Shangri-La is like. And anybody who breaks it is not actually embraced.
The screen, the writing for this film took place, sort of grew out of workshops.
Yes, it did,
So very collaborative process.
Totally collaborative.
And was it a sense, were you taping those conversations with the actors? Were you making notes? Was this, let's rehearse this sort of around in a room while we're sipping tea and coffee and then go out and shoot it? Was it that sort of in your face?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
It was a bit more, how we did it was that we had these actors, and a very dear friend of mine who's a wonderful theater director, has done some of the workshops for my film. And so I reached out to her because I really wanted to do the Mike Lee sort of process of getting the actors together and collaborating and having a screenplay come out of that. I mean, I knew what the context was. It was about the six rapists and the evolution of their lives to the point. That was very clear. But the idea was to get a screenplay. So I told one of the actors, okay, you're 30 years old and you sell books, and you're 17 years old and you ran away from your village. So they had some kind of context and said, okay, and I want to see something from your life. I want to see the most traumatic moment in your life. I say I, but it was Neelam and myself, my friend. We wanted to see a scene with you and your family, a scene with you and your friends, a scene where you were happy, a scene where you were sad. And so they all went off and they could, and they pooled their resources and they asked each other to be a part of their scene. And they would come and enact it. And Maithili, who's here, was the cinematographer. You know, she was just taping it.
Right.
And then that night, I wouldn't like something or Neelam wouldn't like anything. And I said, you know, why do you make these choices? Why don't you try it this way? So then they'd go back and come back and do it. And we'd do it two or three times till we were satisfied. So it was completely a collaborative process. And Maithili would be taping it. And then at night, actually, she and one of the actors would sit down and transcribe everything because it was meant to be a screenplay.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, 2 days later, I mean, I knew that this was the real thing.
Is that a liberating process, or does it scare the hell out of you in a certain creative way?
It's a very interesting question. I think it wasn't scary at all. Maybe because, and it wasn't either liberating either. It was. It just felt very natural. It felt
nice.
Like the right step. And while I was making this film more than any other film, I felt that I was doing something that was that came very naturally. It didn't feel it felt organic.
That's
maybe
good.
That's the word.
It takes a village. Yeah. It takes a village to raise a child. Maybe it takes a village to write a script.
Probably, and especially when it became a non-script
because
it was really their story, the actor's stories, their screenplay.
Yeah.
You know, I was just. You know, tinkering with it, or Neelam would say a few things,
right,
but it's theirs. I mean, I think the film belongs to the actors.
I've seen most of your films. I would call you a hopeful filmmaker. I mean, there's a
really?
I would. I mean, there's a beauty in a there's a central beauty to your filmmaking, and I think maybe a hopeful cynicism. How's that?
I like hopeful cynicism,
yes. I mean, because I think in order to get to that hope, you've got to go through some of the darkness, the melancholy, the despair, to kind of rise above that. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
No, it does. I mean, I studied philosophy, so I think my approach to filmmaking is, it's not philosophical as much as it's thoughtful, I think. And it's a great, I'm a great believer in, and you know, sometimes it can go horribly wrong, but I'm a great believer in instinct, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess where the question was coming from, I started to think about a couple different scenes in the film as you were chatting, and the one scene of the father, I believe, who can't give up smoking.
Yeah, and he will not stop
coughing. I will never forget this. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because of the way you cut back to him. I wanted to get in there and shake this guy. And go,
I know.
Would you stop smoking? But for me, Deepa, it was this is how deep it goes.
Yeah.
This is how troubling this actually is. It's an addiction. It's a part of, I hate the phrase, part of our DNA because it's too deterministic. It doesn't allow for change, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But here's this guy who just, I mean, clearly he wasn't well, and yet he continued to smoke.
Well, it's endemic of the whole film,
Exactly. Yeah, so the systemic kind of nature of it. So I guess that was where I was going when I asked you the question about hope. About advocacy, about change.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, I don't know. I know why I wanted to make the film, on a very selfish level, it was it was because of a sort of my own curiosity. I'm very curious about this. I'm horrified, yes, but I'm also. It was curiosity that drove me finally to make the film.
And is that sort of curiosity about why this would happen in the
first
place?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
How can this happen? And also our own complicity in it. And, you know, me sitting there watching in my comfortable, my mom's comfortable house in New Delhi, watching this on television and saying, where was I?
Right, right. And do you think that question is going to be asked in a deeper way as a result of this film in India and others?
I mean, I hope so.
There was a recent documentary, Daughters of India, is
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. I saw it,
Clearly seems to be, you know, I see it on BBC. There was a whole, last week there was a whole series of articles on sexual violence, on shaming through social media.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond a surface level.
Some kind
of a conversation.
It was, yeah, absolutely. And Leslie, who made the documentary, The Daughters of India, sadly, the film was banned in India, which seems
absurd on so many levels.
But because the fact that it was banned in a strange, I think, very unhealthy way, it did get a lot of play.
Right. Right.
Which is good,
right,
you know.
Right.
Which
kind
is
of flip it on its head.
Exactly, and that's great. And Anatomy of Violence is very different, of course, because it doesn't deal with the victim, or the rape in itself. But it was screened about 3 weeks ago at the Mumbai Film Festival, and it was I couldn't go, but it was a very, very interesting response. And now we're getting feedback, and you know, articles are coming out in Hindustan Times and all the major newspapers about the film. So people are in India, their reaction has been, I think, mostly horrified.
Right.
Yeah. Which is what one should feel. And but it is being screened in again in Cambodia and Philippines and Singapore.
Oh, that's amazing.
And having panel discussions around it, and sometime in February, I think. And that's exactly what I want. And I'd love it to go all over Canada, you know, all over the world.
I read in a recent article that this might be your last film. Is this true?
I'm just so tired. the thought of doing another film is exhausting.
Yeah. Yes, but, I bet. Especially a film like this.
And it just takes the Mickey out of you. But I don't know, maybe as, you know, it. I don't know. Right now, I don't
want
the idea.
Yeah.
It's too soon.
Well, you're still in the middle of this, right?
I know, exactly.
You've got panel discussions to prepare for.
I know. Panel discussions, yes.
Well, I sure hope it's not your last film. It's for sure. Let's just, before we wrap up, November 17th here at TIFF.
In the morning, 9:30, special screening, yeah.
And then with a panel discussion to
with
follow.
With a panel discussion.
And then we've got a theatrical release on November 25th here also at the Lightbox.
Yeah, with a panel discussion on the 25th as well.
And a panel discussion as well. You said that for you, a lot of this, I mean, right back to I think, 1996 in Fire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, this is about choice.
It's about choice.
It's about responsibility and choice. I mean, and, well, about women's choice in particular.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But obviously men have some kind of...
They have a very important
role.
They have a very important role to play. I mean, I think it was in Spain about a week ago when I said that, you know, we're in this together.
We're in this together.
You know, don't think it's a gender war between men and women.
Right.
Hey, this is for humanity. This is for our children. We need you. You need us. I mean, let's just get it together, you know.
I think it's a nuanced and layered film. There you go. There's my soundbite for you. And honestly, congratulations and thank you for, you know, for taking so many risks with this. And I think I'm thrilled that you stayed away from the violence of the act and chose to go after a whole other level of violence that is global.
That is global.
Affecting us all.
Yeah.
That's affecting us on a really micro and a macro level. And mm-hmm. And I'm pretty convinced this is going to start a dialogue, already has.
From your mouth to God's ears, David.
Thank you so much for your time today, Deepa. November 17th at the Lightbox, November 25th, Anatomy of Violence. A real pleasure to chat with you today. And
likewise.
And I often say this, I'll look forward to part two. I hope we can do that.
You'll be the only one, David. No, but seriously, thank you so much.